aside from governor-elect Asa Hutchins. And he said, he called me on at home on my cell phone, and he said, I'm going to ask you some questions. What do you think we ought to do with economic development in the state of Arkansas? Now, he ended up taking my advice. Now, I'm sure everybody else gave him the same advice, because the solution, quite frankly, was pretty obvious to a lot of us. But we said, well, the first thing you need to do is go out and find the best person you can find nationwide to run this program. Now, it took a little while to make that happen, and it took some cooperation with the State Chamber and the Economic Development Association. To participate and help fund a program to identify the best person possible. And what we've seen over the last 4 years since your first speaker today, Mike Preston arrived in Arkansas, and he came from Gainesville, Florida. But, you know, I know Florida, but he was in Gainesville. He's a Gator. We didn't play that in football this year. But we'll excuse him for that. But since he's been here, you've seen this organization do better, get more done, be more effective, drive more positive change, and affect positively Arkansas in a better way than anybody has led that organization in my 30 years. And I say that with all honesty. I'm not sucking up to it, I promise. I'm just saying it with all honesty. They have become one of the leading economic development entities in government, visions of government across the country. And it's because of his leadership. So he's very, has been very willing to come and help us in Springdale. And so thank you for welcoming him as I introduce my question. Mike, come on up.
Senator Reed, it's always enjoy working with you. You guys run a great organization up here, and it was always great to be in town. So, I got to say, I give you a lot of credit for this. I go to a lot of communities and we talk about issues that are going on and problems, and you hear a lot of people gripe and complain about stuff. What you guys are doing here is actually taking action. And I think taking action is what needs to be done. And I commend you guys for being here and for the Springdale Chamber and the Northwest Arkansas Council for taking action and making something happen. That means a lot. So, we had an election on Tuesday. If everyone wasn't paying attention, I actually watched TV last night for the first time in about 2 months. I actually saw a toothpaste commercial instead of a political ad about someone on a boat or something. So, it was nice to get a little reprieve from that. But we're excited because the governor was reelected to another 4 years, pretty overwhelmingly. And I really think that with the governor, as dedicated as he is to economic development, workforce development, we've got an opportunity in these next 4 years with him and the leadership and having such a supportive legislature behind him, we can lay the foundation of what economic development and workforce development is going to look like for the next 10 to 20 years in the state of Arkansas. If we want to continue to push the ball down the road and get ahead of the curve and be the next leader for economic development, the next 4 years, they are for us to kind of take a blank canvas and make it what we want it to be. So I am here to talk about workforce development. What does that mean? And I want to talk a little bit about the governor's plan for government reorganization, and how does that tie into economic development and workforce development, some of the things that you can expect to see going in this legislative session and then beyond. But I do want to back up for a minute and talk about the last 4 years, because there is a lot to talk about and brag about and be excited about. It gives us a little hope and gives us a little momentum in these next 4 years.
3.5% unemployment. It's 27 consecutive months that we've been below 4% unemployment. And any economist will tell you 4% is worth full employment. So we're sitting at 3.5% statewide. And for the last 43 consecutive months, we've been at or below the national unemployment average. And there was only 1 month that we were actually at it. 42 of those 43 months were actually below it. But then you turn your head to right here in Northwest Arkansas, and it's even better than that. I think it's down to 2.3, 2.4% in Northwest Arkansas last time I saw it. That really means that anyone who wants a job right now in the state of Arkansas can have a job. It's that willingness of the workforce to be in the labor pool and to participate. And I'm going to come back to the labor participation a little bit. That's another challenge that we need to continue to work on. But if you look where we are for the last 4 years, we have 77,900 jobs created in the state, private sector jobs, more than we were in January of 2015. And we're sitting right now at about 1.25 million people in our labor pool. That's the highest record level that we've been at. We'll continue to hover around that number as well. Per capita income in the state is up to $40,791. That's a 7.3% increase since 2014. And if you look at AEDC and the projects that we work with our local communities across the state, we're competing head-to-head with other states and other countries. We've won 401 competitive economic development projects that resulted in 16,889 jobs paying an average wage of $20.33 an hour. And that represents $8.4 billion in capital invested into our state at that time. We continue to have a lot of success throughout the state in many new initiatives. Most recently, we launched a new competitive communities initiative, a new website. We continue our outreach to existing industries. We see a lot of growth in existing industries. We recently wrapped up the filming of HBO True Detective, season 3, that's going to air in January, I believe. Make sure everyone has their HBO subscriptions up to date for January so you can see Northwest Arkansas here prominently featured in that. We designated opportunity zones recently across the state, 85 opportunity zones, a new chance for investment to get some tax reprieve. City of Springdale actually ended up with 4 opportunity zones, one of the top ones in the state. We continue our push for direct investment. We're getting a lot of recognition across the globe. And we are 5th overall in terms of jobs attributed to foreign direct investment over the last 5 years. The numbers are very good. But we got a lot of work to do. When I break down and talk about jobs and the growth that we've had and the success that I've had, I look at different measurements for where we go and what can we do to influence those measurements. So when you think of economic development, I break it down into 3 buckets. You have competitive projects, facilitated growth, and organic and market-driven growth. So let's break these down. Competitive projects. So these are the ones that the AEDC, the Economic Development Commission, this is what we work day in and day out. This is where we market ourselves around the country and around the world, that we're a business destination. We partner with local communities like the Springdale Chamber to compete for projects. We're competing head-to-head with another state or another country to win those jobs and influence them here. These are usually jobs that are in a targeted industry that we want to recruit as a state. They have higher wages, and typically there's some type of incentive that comes into play. Help us win those projects. And we talked about those numbers. We've done great. There are 401 competitive projects over the last about 4 years now. So the competitive projects. You have facilitated growth. And this is where the state or a community makes a conscientious decision to invest in something, and then you can see a return from that. Think about what we're doing in entrepreneurship, how we're investing in small businesses. We can track the return if we know how many small business startups are and what those numbers are. Think about tourism. What are we investing into our tourism? We know that for every 85 visitors that we get to the state, that translates to 1 job. We can track heads and beds. We know those things. We can accurately measure that. Trade is another one that we're doing. And the partnership we have with the World Trade Center, helping Arkansas companies be able to export to new markets. We can accurately track that. And then the other is the market-driven organic growth. And this is where we as a state, we're a natural market of 3 million people. Companies and businesses want to be here because they want access to our people. They know that we're going to buy goods and trade with them. And how we influence that is through taxes, regulations, having a balanced budget, all those things that, you know, the community can do little things here and there, the state can do things here and there, to help kind of influence that larger growth. But when you look at all three of those buckets, competitive projects, facilitated growth, and the market organic driven growth, what crosscuts can influence all three of those? It's workforce. It doesn't matter what measurement, what bucket you're looking at, workforce influences and crosscuts all three of those. You don't have the workforce, you don't have the available labor, you don't have the training available, we're not going to compete, we're not going to succeed, we're not going to win in those three areas. So, we realize the importance of what does that mean for, you know, the future of economic development. If we don't get workforce development right and workforce training, we're going to fall further behind in economic development. So I look forward to what the governor has now introduced, and so I want to spend a little bit of time on this. The governor's transformation plan is reorganized state government. So I guess it was about a month ago, and you know, you kind of got to give the governor a lot of credit. He's leading up into a re-election. He could have waited until afterwards and talked about this after the fact. But he said, you know what, no, I want to get this out in front of the people, in front of the voters, and let them know this is my plan for the next legislative session. This is how I'm going to transform state government. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of people in Little Rock and state government jobs who hear that word transformation and efficiencies, and they probably start to get a little bit nervous. What does that mean for my position? But he took it upon himself to introduce this this initiative. And what he wants to do is, right now, as it's structured, there's 42 state agencies, or state directors, who report directly to the governor. So the governor has oversight of these 42 agencies. In addition to that, there's over 200 boards and commissions that report to the governor. And his idea and his proposal is to streamline that, strengthen that, and trim that number down to 15 cabinet-level secretary led departments. I think about 15. You think about the federal government. I think they have like 16 or 17 cabinet level positions. Sure, that the federal government can fit all the nature of the beast within those 15 to 16. We can do the same here in Arkansas. This is the first time that a government reorganization plan has been introduced, proposed in nearly 50 years. So it's about time that we realign things. As the governor likes to say, there's 42 agency directors. If I give each one of them an hour of my time every week to talk about what's going on in their agency, that's 42 hours out of my week before I get to work on anything else. So bringing in this alignment is going to really make a big difference, where he can set the strategic plan, take those 15 cabinet-level directors, and push things out through all the state government. You're going to have more efficiencies and better alignment. You're going to look for savings. Just a quick story of what we were able to do with economic development. So about 2 years ago, we worked with the legislature to pull in two of those existing state agencies, the Department of Rural Services and the Science and Technology Authority, into AEDC. So now we're one combined agency of what used to be three. And we didn't fire, we didn't get rid of anyone, but through attrition, through savings of just, you know, consolidating office space, consolidating our fleet and other things, we've been able to turn back over $1 million each of the last 3 years of the savings that we've realized from that merger. And that's pretty small. I mean, we went from, we were about 140 employees when we became all three of us merged. We've now trimmed that down to 100 employees when we work with all three agencies. If you multiply that across the levels and layers of state government, who knows what that savings could translate to. So you look for the efficiencies, you look for the savings, and then you look for an improved customer service. No longer are you going to kind of get kicked around between the different agencies. You know, if something falls within the Department of Commerce, the Department of Education, you know, you can pick up the phone or go to that website and find out what you want. So focusing on improved customer service. So I'll just give you a couple of examples of what the consolidation looks like. There's some obvious fits that if you were looking at that big, you know, discombobulated chart of where everything sits, you could probably say, why aren't these together? So some natural, you know, fits would be the Department of Corrections and the Department of Community Corrections. So bringing them under one roof makes a lot of sense there. Public safety, having the state highway police coming in with emergency management, everyone who has some type of, you know, safety component in their job and in their mission, bring them to Department of Public Safety. Think about parks and tourism and all the good things that they do, combining them with the Department of Heritage, where they have a lot of overlap and a lot of similar shared entities. The Department of Shared Services, this is something that will be new to a lot of people, but this is something that's not new in the business world. We actually have shared services where you have the HR, IT, procurement, all those that work and represent for all those other state agencies in one functioning unit that supports all the state government. It's kind of going to a private sector model. And then education. Right now, being different levels of education in different areas and different levels of reporting, bringing everything together from pre-K to 20, if you like to call it. So from pre-education, K through 12, and higher education. This doesn't mean that we're, higher education institutions have to report to the Board of Education, so I do set the boards. But having one secretary who can kind of help oversee that so that we have some continuity between those levels of government, these all make a lot of sense. And I think we're moving in the right direction. So what does this mean for workforce development and economic development? We all become what will be part of the Department of Commerce. So you take what is economic development, the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, and AFRA, the Department of Workforce Services, the Office of Skills Development, which is represented here today, and Cody Riggs and his team, Department of Aeronautics, Waterways Commission, Banking, Securities, and Insurance. And you pull them in, all in the Department of Commerce. That gives us the opportunity to actually have collaboration and coordination, clarity, and one point of contact. So you have our workforce development working with economic development to make sure that we're moving in the same direction. We can set that strategic plan and folks are actually working together. And then we have the Office of Skills Development supporting economic development, the Department of Workforce Services is supporting industry and what's happening. The difference and exciting that excites me is that we bring industry to the table. That gives us the opportunity for the economic developers, the people who are out there on the ground talking to companies day in and day out, understanding what the industry needs are. We bring them to the table, and then we can work with our workforce partners to actually satisfy and meet the needs of what industry is looking for. And we can focus on the economic development side and actually supplying the talent pipelines to be successful. You know, it doesn't matter if we're sitting down with a company right here in Northwest Arkansas, or we're sitting down with a consultant in New York City, or a CEO in London, England. The first thing they're going to talk about, the biggest challenge they have right now is workforce development. How is Arkansas going to address the needs that we have as we move or grow our company in your community? How are we going to find those workers who are going to be able to see that? What I want to see out of this is more career coaches in the middle and high school, focusing on careers that don't necessarily require a college degree. I think for many years, we kind of push students in a way that you have to go to college. You've got to go to college, and you've got to take out student loans, and you've got to incur a bunch of debt, and you've got to get out and find a job that might not be able to help you pay it back. College isn't for everyone. We've got to do a better job in our technical schools, in our technical trade programs, in our vocational technical schools, and encourage kids that this is the path to go. Quick story, recently the governor took a trip with some folks from Northwest Arkansas and Fort Smith to Danville, Virginia to look at the model that they have and what they've been able to set up there in their workforce training. It was very interesting to see how they did it. They put together a board of 12 industry representatives. This board of 12 industry representatives sets the curriculum and dictates how the six community colleges in the Danville region are going to operate. They set the curriculum, goes down to the presidents of those institutions, and they work in school districts to implement the concurrent credit. They have apprenticeship programs, and the businesses have made investments. So we got to tour some facilities where we have high school juniors and seniors who, in the morning, are taking classes in their curriculum, and in the afternoon, they're moving into a technical and career type of training place where they're working on CNC machining, diesel mechanic, all the things that these industries need. And they're learning that while they're still in high school, they'll stick around for another year. By the time they're 19, they have a certification in one of these trades. And when they're going out making a job or paying $75,000 to $80,000 a year, and they come out debt free. So anyway, we're going through this facility and with the governor and Gustav, and talking to a young man who's 1 year out of high school, and he was working on a machine, and he started asking some questions. He didn't know who we were from Adam, so he's just opened up and telling us everything. Finally, the governor said, "Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Asa Hutchinson, governor of Arkansas. We just really appreciate what you guys are doing and looking to do something similar in our state." And he goes, "Arkansas?" He goes, I got a boat from Arkansas. I got a Ranger boat from flipping Arkansas. So here's a 19-year-old kid, a year out of school. He's got enough money that he bought his own boat. So pretty nice freaking boat, made right here in Arkansas. So for a kid to be able to do that and not have to worry about paying back student loans, that's really enticing. We just got to kind of change that narrative and that mindset. The students in high school and middle school level, you know what, it's okay to go out and get a career and a trade, because we need that. These are the jobs of the future. So I'm excited about this this opportunity that we have under a merged Department of Commerce to actually start implementing things like this. And, you know, we've done, you know, one-offs around the state. We give the local communities, especially right here in Northwest Arkansas, a lot of credit. We've taken it upon themselves. They haven't waited for the state or the federal government to act. They're acting upon themselves. What we need to do as a state is now catch up to some of these local communities who are doing this, pilots and programs, and figure out a way that we're going to do this statewide. I think this is the first step, is getting all these agencies and entities together that are focused on economic development, that are focused on workforce development, and come up with a new model. It's going to be a long process, as Perry alluded to earlier. This is, you know, turning an aircraft carrier around. We've always done things this way. A lot of people think that's the way it should do. And, you know, we're going to chip around the edges for a while, but it's really going to take wholesale change to make this happen. And it starts with this initiative that we're going to work on this legislative session. So we're excited about the support from the legislature. We're excited about the support that we've got from the local chambers, from the state chamber, making this initiative happen. So I talked a little bit about our CCI program that we're going through. This is our Competitive Communities Initiative. That we're working with our local communities to make sure that they're ready for the next economic development project. And when we launched this, the governor launched it back in March, we focused on four pillars. One is the economic development organization, two is economic development funding, three is product readiness, do you have sites and available buildings, and four, which is probably the most important, is your workforce narrative. What is your narrative and what is the community doing to support workforce and workforce development? But I look at it as, you know, each community is going to have their own narrative of how they're doing it. We need to rewrite the narrative of what we're doing for the state. I mean, this is our opportunity to be able to do that. No longer do I want to go into a meeting and sit down with the CEO and we sell everything in Arkansas and everything's great and want to come here and say, well, tell us about our workforce and how we're going to find 1,000 people to fill these jobs in your state. And then we kind of have to, you know, tap dance around with how we're going to make it happen and say, you know, we're going to hold it together with duct tape and whatever else we can find to make it happen. I want to go to that meeting with the governor, and the governor's going to lay out something in front of that CEO and say, this is what we're doing in workforce development. Here's how you're going to find 1,000 people. Now let's talk about all the other things that we've got the most important thing out of the way. We're going to rewrite that narrative. It's going to start here right in the 2019 session. Another thing that excites me is how we bring in, you know, education together. We've got pre-K system kind of all moving in the same direction. No longer do we take 5, 6, 7, 8 cabinet members of different agencies trying to get everyone together at the same time in a conference hall. I know the schedule is really busy together and trying to make a decision. Now we've got 2 cabinet level directors who pick up the phone and say, hey, this is what we need. The cabinet director said, okay, we can do this way or we can come forward. It's going to be that much more efficient, that much more exciting. And then the thing that, you know, I appreciate here today is that the teachers, the school counselors, and the principals, and I know there's education folks represented in this room, you guys are the original economic developers. I mean, it begins right there with teachers, educators, counselors, and principals. If you guys aren't there educating the youth and getting them ready for the careers that they need, we're never going to get to do economic development. Education is going to be such a key component in this. And I think that's something that we, state level and forgot about. It starts with these school districts, it starts with these principals, it starts with the counselors and the teachers. If you guys aren't at the table with us and we're working on the same thing, and we're talking to you guys, we're talking to the industry, it's not going to happen. I've seen a clip before where, you know, you have a teacher, you know, a principal, someone from the industry, and a student all kind of you know, arguing about whose fault it is that we're not moving forward in workforce development. And the key is that we can get everyone together in the same room, talking about the same things and moving in the same direction, that's how we're going to get it done. So I'm excited about this this program, about really transforming state government. This is something that's long overdue. The governor's going to give us a lot of, you know, tools and resources to make it happen.
And really, it's a blank canvas, if you will. And all of these entities together, then it's upon us. It's upon us as our candidates to figure out how we want this to look, how we want this to work moving forward. So let me back up a little bit too and talk about the labor participation rate. This is something that's really plaguing us right now. I certainly don't have an answer, but if there's little things that we can do to improve this, we're going to be in a better position. Like I said before, 3.5% unemployment statewide. Even better than that right here in North Arkansas, 2.3%, 1.25 million in labor force, all-time records. But we also have about 60,000 jobs right now open in the state of Arkansas. We had 60,000 people that we could find and put to work. We could do that right now. There's more coming. There's no slowing down on our projects. We've got interest from all over the country, all over the world in projects. They want to come to Arkansas. They want to be here. They like our quality of life. They like our tax structure. There's a lot of things to like about Arkansas. They like our strategic location. We've got to figure out that workforce piece. But if you look at the labor participation, for our country, most recently, we peaked around the year 2000, 67% labor participation. We're down now as a nation to about 61%, and in Arkansas, we're at 57%. We are the lowest among our competitor states, and we're at 57%. But just think, if we could increase that 57% just to the national average at 61%, that's 50,000 more people. If we can just figure out how to get to the national average on labor participation, it's 50,000 more people to help fill those 60,000 jobs. If we come up 10% in labor participation and then get into the ranks of the states who are in the top tier, it's 125,000 people. Why is our labor participation rate at this level? That's a great question. That's something we're trying to figure out and determine what needs to be done. The incarceration rate continues to rise. Addiction and drug abuse continue to rise. An aging population, not much we can do there. There's less young workers in the workforce than there were 15, 20, 30, 35 years ago. That's a product of more people going to college and spending more years in college. And then something when we started looking at it was interesting to me was the decline of men aged 25 to 54 in the workforce. I don't know what attributes to that, but we're starting to look at that and figure it out. But if we can, like I said, just get this up to the national average, we're 50,000 more jobs, 50,000 more people to fill those vacant jobs in our state. So labor participation is something I think you're going to hear a lot more about in the future. It's hard to probably legislate and make that happen, but it's going to take an effort by, like I said, going back to the original economic development, teachers, principals, working with the local chambers of commerce, working with the state and federal officials to make this happen. So to wrap this up, I just want to bring it together and for landing and say, our economy is very strong. But we can't wait for the next crisis to hit before we start preparing for the future. If we want to prepare for the future, prepare for whatever the next downturn might be, because we're riding high right now, but as we've seen, the economy is cyclical. There'll be a downturn at some point. If we want to prepare for that and better insulate ourselves, we have to take action right now with the things when things are going well. Workforce training and workforce development is the key to being the next leader in economic development. The states to get this right continue to propel us in the future. We've got a very dedicated legislature that's behind us. This is Senator English came in. Senator English from the North Little Rock area, and Senator Deans represents you guys. You've got some very dedicated advocates who are going to work with the government to make sure that we get this right. The governor's transformation plan for safety of the government has really given us an opportunity to reshape our state's workforce delivery system and to rewrite the narrative of workforce development and workforce training. Let's make the most of this opportunity. And I'll say congratulations already to you guys that you've taken it upon yourselves to be here today, to be a part of this summit, to hear the ideas, to talk about it. There's no one silver bullet that's going to fix it, no one person is going to do it by themselves. It's going to take the collaborative effort of everyone in this room and all the industries and entities that you guys represent to make this happen. As Barry said, we're going to turn this aircraft carrier around, we're going to make it happen in the next couple of years, but we're always looking for those new ideas and how to shape and transform that. With that, we'll look to Lance or Harriet, see if we have time for questions. We We do.
Okay. So let me wrap up and just say thank you guys for being here. I'm going to hang around for a couple minutes before the next speaker, and we'll see if we have any questions and talk it up. I'd love to get your feedback on your ideas. So someone's going to have a microphone in the back of the room, and who's going to have the first question? There we go, right up here. I know it's early, but everyone's had some coffee, so let's get your ideas flowing.
Good morning. Thanks for being here. I'm Barbara Kellums. I was wondering if you know the difference in the labor participation numbers between men and women. What are the women's numbers? Especially as compared to other states. Because I have a hunch that lack of affordable child care is a factor in it.
As I said, we were just kind of starting to scratch the surface on that. That was one that came up with the child care.
I don't remember what the numbers were or the names were.
It was a significant decline, and I think the women held fairly steady. Overall, I think it was a little bit of a decline, but not as much of a decline as the men. I think you go back to like in the 1950s or 60s, though, that age group, the 25 to 54 men, was like close to 90%, and it's down much lower, around like 70%. To put those numbers into perspective, if you look nationwide, 61-62% labor participation, 57% in Arkansas. Most European countries are somewhere between 70-85% labor participation. I even think that we didn't beat like Europe and anything, and they're kicking our butts in that one.
I have a question from an educator's point of view. I know of young people who are leaving our school, going off to college, getting degrees, and they're coming back and trying to get in the region. And I hear the stats that there are 50,000 jobs open and opportunities for young people, and then these young people are still leaving. Two of them I can think of right off the top of my head were in logistics, which I would think would be a high demand area here, and the other is in computer science. What can we do as a whole to make sure that we are reaching out to our students who are graduating from college and even our high school students to make them aware of who they need to contact and who the contact is to come back in this area and find these jobs so I can continue to hear the growth?
That's a great question and a great point. And I think that's where kind of the beauty too of the restructuring of state government. We can now have, like I said, having economic development at the table with, the Department of Workforce Services. We now have the ability to, as economic developers, work with our folks at the Department of Workforce Services and say, hey, these are the jobs that are coming in. We recruited this company. We need X, Y, and Z, Department of Workforce Services and Skills Development, and work with the Education Department to push that message out into the schools to, I don't know whether we need to create a website and start feeding it back into the school system, but that's something I started talking to my counterpart at Parks and Tourism. How do we start a campaign, if you will, aimed at keeping talent here and recruiting new talent? Because we do have these jobs. So when someone's getting ready to graduate high school, we're able to send them to a website or show them a link of jobs, a list of jobs that, hey, we can stay right here in Arkansas and not have to travel somewhere else. The other part of that is the quality of life, and that's where I think my counterparts at Parks and Tourism come into play, is the generation that's coming out of high school or college right now, their mindset's a lot different than the generation before. They want to go and live somewhere where they're happy. They want to have all the amenities, the quality of life, and all the things that makes them happy in life, and then they'll find a job. The generation before that were, I'm going to go somewhere where there's a job, and I'll put down roots, and that's where I'm going to build my family around that. The quality of life is less important. So we can convince the students who are coming out of high school that you don't have to go to Colorado or to Silicon Valley and be happy. We're going to do a comparison for you of what it would cost to buy a home in Springdale, Arkansas versus San Jose, California. Yeah, they might offer you $175,000, but if you make $100,000 in Springdale, Arkansas, you might as well be making $1 million out there. So we're going to work with them on an ad campaign focused on that. And what we need from education, from school districts, is the willingness to help us disseminate that information and get it out to the students. Arkansas has always been a state that's focused on big data and having access to data. The more data that we can have and know that there's students who are out there that are looking to leave, we can just link them together, that's going to make a big difference. So again, I go back to the governor's transformation plan. That's the blank canvas that we have in front of us that we can make this what we want. And if we can focus on those students and capturing that talent before they leave the state of Arkansas, that's going to fill those jobs. That's a great question. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Michelle Michaels from Springfield High School. I'm a technical educator. So my first question is CTE classes, are we going to fall underneath the PK 220 cabinet, or are we calling underneath the Department of Commerce cabinet? That's the first question.
The CTE would be under pre-K 220.
Okay, and so my next question is, kind of has to deal with, we have a SCORC, which is called the ESSA SCORC, which is a big deal for educators. Mm-hmm. Now, luckily, I work in the school district that is very proactive and very supportive in CTE classes. But I have a lot of co-teachers across the state that are not. And so a lot of them are struggling with ESSA scores and ESSA scores that Arkansas Department of Education recognize the importance of computers for CTE, as well as the importance of the certifications for people. So I would just say it'd be nice to make sure that when this department is formed, that there's a lot of attention brought to that when we're doing report cards about school districts and stuff. To have computers and certifications play factor.
Absolutely. I appreciate those comments. I think you'll see as the governor continues to lay out his agenda for the next 4 years, that workforce development, career development are going to be such a key component of that, that however that department gets formed and whoever the leader of it is, there's going to be a strong, strong emphasis on that across the state. So we look for a lot more coordination with the school districts and superintendents. So we've got a great one right here in Springdale. We appreciate that. We'd love to replicate that across the state.
Yeah, hi. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, small business people who are starting and launching businesses. And one of the difficulties that I hear from a lot of people who are particularly developing a product is getting a product manufactured in small batches. Mm-hmm. Are we doing anything to recruit, incentivize small batch micro manufacturing in the state? And as I flip to that question, I was also the governor's computer science curriculum board. Okay. And so I see a lot of young people who are graduating from high school with enormous experience in computer sciences. Mm-hmm. A lot of states are recruiting from outside of the state. To bring in employers who are hiring independent coder programmers. Are we doing anything along that line to incentivize that for not necessarily companies that are going to come here and build, but they're going to be paying instead?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes to both of those. And the first part, you know, most of the competitive projects that I'm talking about, well, the big, large companies who have the, 500 to 1,000 jobs, get the headlines in the newspaper. It's the small, 5, 10 job companies that are doing small-scale manufacturing, really the ones that are moving the needle. And those are the competitive projects that we continue to go after that fall within our target sector. So our team works day in and day out to recruit those from the state. They just don't get as much attention as the big headline, but we do have them all over the place. And then on the computer coding, absolutely, it's, even in manufacturing, it's, less about putting stuff together with your hands and being able to work the line, as now it exists, it's, programming that robot that's going to do it on the line, and how do we get those kids into those jobs and bring them in and incentivizing that. And that's what we kind of think we're going to focus on. We've got, first, I'd say step one, the computer coding initiative into the schools. We've seen yesterday the numbers came out, we had a 30% increase in the students taking it from last year to this year, which is great. Now it's a second step in that. How do we make sure that we're continuing to educate those folks and that we're getting them the jobs that they need, that they can stay in Arkansas? So, the governor and I made a trip out to Silicon Valley, and what we were trying to do was recruit some of the companies to open up operations in Arkansas. And what they quickly learned is, and they did their homework about us before we went, is, oh, wow, you guys are educating a whole generation of computer programmers, and I can probably steal them away for cheaper than I can, kids from other parts of the country. So they were interested in our talent, we were interested in their jobs, so we kind of had a little butting of the head and said, no, we're going to keep our talent, you can keep your job, we'll grow our own.
Hi, I was wondering if there's any studies on the impact that the new minimum wage laws are going to have as far as workforce participation and available jobs?
I'm sure there are some studies. I wouldn't be able to cite any of them right now off the top of memory, other than it scares me, because that means that the number of the youth employment is going to continue to go down, because you're going to have companies like McDonald's, who would normally hire at minimum wage, where it's cheaper to go in and order that robot than it is to order from, you know, the 16-year-old kid that would have been making minimum wage. So the numbers, you know, that scares me. It passed, it's going to get implemented, so we got to figure out a way to deal with it, but yet it is going to have a negative impact. So I'm sure there's a lot of studies out there, and someone from the state chamber, I think, has done some more detailed work into that. But as an economic developer, yeah, it doesn't have any more numbers.
Hi, I'm Martha Longman. I'm a small business banker with Legacy National Bank. And it's my understanding, I work with small business owners, mom and pop businesses every day. And four of the top five occupations in our country are retail sales, cashiers, restaurant, frontline office. And what I hear from a lot of my small business owners is they have questions about what do we do to prepare our students for soft skills. And small business, as you know, is 48% of the employers in Arkansas. And like you said, we do hear a lot about workforce and connected to industry. So this is what I hear my business owners. They have great workers who run a POS system, work a computer, fill online orders, but they don't know how to sell.
That seems to be the question that resonates across the state, and I don't know if it's a generational thing, but soft skills just aren't what they used to be. And, you know, it's going to be hard for the state to come in and say that we've got the golden answer that's going to fix that, other than, you know, working through what is now the revamped Department of Education, and working through what's a revamped Department of Commerce, having their interests together to get the feedback and say, hey, these are the soft skills that are missing. How can we at least teach something like this in the school? And yeah, maybe they're able to, you know, operate a computer, they can do everything on their iPhone, but you know what, they can't get out and talk to a customer and sell a product, or you know, they can't read a tape measure to make a one, you know, 1 foot cut on a piece of wood if they're going into construction or something. So how do we translate what the need of industry is and those soft skills into the education department so we're teaching those skills in the classroom? And I think that's where we've had that, you know, that gap that we're missing. And again, when I go back to, we've kind of got this blank canvas in front of us that now we have an ability that we'll be able to be more coordinated and getting the feedback from, like you said, from businesses around the state that you represent, most of the small businesses, that these are the skills that we need to implement in the classrooms.
All right, how about a round of applause for Mike Preston? Thank you so much.
Session here. I'm going to invite to the podium Mike Harvey, the COO of the Northwest Arkansas Council. His responsibilities include working with educators, business people through the region's workforce. Mike calls himself a self-proclaimed numbers nerd, so he's amazing, lots of charts and graphs and great information available. We appreciate all that from Mike. That's him who's working with our business and our educators here in Northwest Arkansas. So he's going to talk a little bit about what the council's strategy for success and how that relates to our workforce. Please welcome Mr. Mike Harvey.
Can you guys hear me? I'm just like a little feedback here.
Working.
I'm probably going to have to walk around a little bit. Maybe we'll take about here. It's really, literally, on the first time I've done the other day. So I usually have a couple of bets that I commit to memory. So I don't like to do this thing. If I turn my back on you guys, ball spot. And I like my bio there. I think Brooke may have and they yes, and data nerd, number nerd. I think I'm gonna start using that one as a title for $2. So I wanted to share with you guys some information. You know, we've been focused on this particular area for about three years. Internet at the council. So, I'm going to turn this on. All right. So, one of the things that we recognize right away, and I've been doing this 23 years, 4 years, economic development, and interestingly enough, I started at local level, and we've always thought these are our business, and take their pulse on how they felt about competition, workforce, and city services, and things like that. We started doing that work here with our commerce. New boots on the ground, they speak to about 450 or 500 companies a year to do the kind of thing.